your first thing working on your own car, change your own oil.
Right.
Right. That's probably the easiest thing to start with.
Right.
Depending on the car, if you have like a real new car and you got to remove plastic pans and stuff like that. But if you have a, I don't know, probably 2010 and older car, it's very, very simple to change the oil.
And it's something that like the cost of purchasing the oil and everything that you need associated with it, it requires maybe two different socket sizes or wrenches.
Yep.
It's pretty minimal. Easy to do in your driveway. Most cars, you can either get underneath or drive it up on ramps and then it's nice and safe.
Yep.
But that's a really, really good thing to do on the car that you have now rather than trying to shop for something else. Just start with that. It's a routine thing. It needs to happen every, 5 to 10,000 miles, depending on what kind of oil you use, what kind of car it is.
Yep.
But start with whatever your car model is. Plug in year, make, model, oil change. Google it. There's going to be step-by-steps. There's going to be what size wrench, everything that you need. All the tools are going to be laid out there for you. So you'll know kind of what you're getting yourself into. Welcome back to the Third Pedal Podcast. I'm Jacob.
Zach.
I forgot this. I was like, yeah, we should introduce ourselves again, just in case. Especially, this is a very special episode. We've gotten this request before about, you know, basically it kind of boils down to like cars 101. Like, how do I get into cars?
Yep.
A lot of people, like we were blessed to be into cars and not forced to work on cars, but like we needed to get to work and we needed to fix something. We happen to have a dad who spent his entire life wrenching on things. So we were blessed to, from a very young age, be exposed to wrenching on cars and what that process looks like and how to essentially like how to improvise and how to troubleshoot stuff to try to figure out what's going on. But not everybody had that and not everybody knows. So say like this came up, this topic came up. I had a conversation with somebody in the last couple of weeks where they basically said, I like seeing that there's a podcast that you're doing, but I know nothing about cars, but I want to, but I don't know how to get started. So what do you do? Like, where do you start?
Yeah,
you know?
that's a good topic. I think we can help out a little bit with that.
I think we can. We'll try not to. This is one of those things, like I tell people this about, like my day job's in marketing. And so when people start asking little marketing questions, I'm sure you do this in your line of work too, where you start talking and then you catch yourself and you're like, just so you know, I could talk for the next 4 hours about this.
Yeah,
so
we can keep
stop
going.
Me. Yeah. but yeah, so I figured we both got a couple of notes in here, but we're going to do a starter episode. If you're new to the car community, if you're just getting into cars, maybe you have a reliable daily driver and you are just looking for the next step of, I know I want, like you can picture yourself being in that community and working on stuff. Mm-hmm. Where do you get started? What's the first step to something like that? So let's get into that now. So,
All right.
So I don't know. Do you want to start? Like, what's the first piece you think on as far as getting into cars? In no particular order, just what's some helpful stuff?
I mean, trial and error is how I've learned everything. Kind of like how you talked about, just like, kind of getting forced into it. Like we all got started with it because like we had to get to work. Like we had to fix our car if it needed something done.
And we chose like kind of dumb, but really cool cars.
Didn't choose like a base model, whatever.
Nah, we had like 80s cars because it's fuel efficient. But like it was like a thing that like we could, it was something that we could have fun driving with the added risk of stuff's going to break and we got to figure it out. So,
and we inherited problems in both our cars too. They had issues we had to fix. So I think probably a good starting place would be getting something that is pretty simple. There's a lot of them. It doesn't have to be a crazy cool car unless you have like that one thing in mind that you really want to get and you're like, hey, I understand that this isn't going to work sometimes, but I'm willing to learn and work on it.
Right.
Ideally, like you said, it's a second car. Doesn't have to be, but if you already have a reliable car and then you can have something that like, say you screw up doing something on it and you need to do some more research to figure out how to get it running again.
Totally.
We've both been there.
Totally.
Like
it's way better to wait and work on something a couple days later when you've had more time to research than just power through and break stuff.
Yeah.
Because like, we've done that too of like, no, it's got to go back together. And then you break a bolt or something and it's a nightmare.
So but that being said, I don't think two cars are probably realistic for most people.
I was just going to go there.
For me for the long time. So I think number one thing you can learn, your first thing working on your own car, change your own oil.
Right.
Right. That's probably the easiest thing to start with.
Right.
Depending on the car, if you have like a real new car and you got to remove plastic pans and stuff like that. But if you have a, I don't know, probably 2010 and older car.
Right.
It's very, very simple to change the oil.
And it's something that like the cost of purchasing the oil and everything that you need associated with it, it requires two different socket sizes or wrenches.
Yep.
It's pretty minimal, easy to do in your driveway. Most cars, you can either get underneath or drive it up on ramps and then it's nice and safe.
Yep.
But that's a really, really good thing to do on the car that you have now, rather than trying to shop for something else. Just start with that. It's a routine thing. It needs to happen every 5 to 10,000 miles, depending on what kind of oil you use, what kind of car it is.
Yep.
But start with whatever your car model is, plug in year, make, model, oil change, Google it. There's going to be step by steps. There's going to be what size wrench, everything that you need. All the tools are going to be laid out there for you, so you'll know kind of what you're getting yourself into. Another good thing, especially if this is your first time, just watch a YouTube video of somebody doing it to understand 100%. All the steps. Not that there's a lot of steps to it. It's literally you're draining the oil. If you're doing the filter, you're pulling the filter off, adding a new filter, adding the plug, more oil. It's literally like a couple of steps there. Yeah. Not much you can really mess up with it. But that's a great first step. And it's kind of like I think you can attest to this too. Every piece, every little thing you do on your car, whether big or small, if you change an air filter and you just pop one out, put a new one in, it's just, it gives you a little bit more confidence in your car.
Totally.
Just the next level of confidence to, okay, maybe I can take on the next piece to it. And it's just step-by-step thing. So oil change, definitely. That's a great first thing to do on the car you have now. Because your car needs an oil change. It's going to cost $30-$40. You bring it in somewhere, $30-$40 of parts to do it yourself, and then you've got, you know, you got your hands on the car, you can see it, you can work on it.
Realistically, you do it a few times, it'll take you like 15-20 minutes.
Oh yeah, super quick. And you get the whole, the biggest thing that like everybody, I love seeing videos about it, is like you undo the drain plug to the last thread, because this is the plug at the bottom of your engine that all the fluid is sitting on.
Yeah.
And it's unscrewed.
You've got
the
a
end.
Bowl full of oil.
Yeah.
And you're taking the plug right out of the out of the tub in the
and
bottom.
You're getting there and you pull and get your hand out of the way. So that's, you know, you've mastered it when you don't get a lot of oil on your hand.
For sure.
But it's a great, like the thing, and I guess kind of a center of all of this that I realized when I was doing the timing belt on my WRX, a little bit more advanced of a job.
For sure.
But as I was working on it, I had this realization, and hopefully this is a comfort to anybody starting to work on their cars. Nothing about cars, and this isn't a dig at any, like anybody who does this for a living, there are way more advanced tasks that definitely require a professional to look at.
For sure.
But for the most part, cars, they really aren't, nothing's that difficult. It's just specific. So it's just a matter of knowing the task that you're getting yourself into, doing research ahead of time, seeing what you're going to need, and then just following the steps as you go along through it. It's really not difficult. It's just, you got to be patient. You got to be specific with it. And everything that you do, like cars are pretty simple when it ultimately boils down, even modern new cars with plastic stuff, like it really is kind of all the same
stuff.
We're
in a good age with this stuff right now. Yeah. I mean, you guys are probably watching this on Spotify or YouTube, whatever, like YouTube's a great source for this. Like said, look up, you have a 2006 Toyota Corolla, look up 2006 Toyota Corolla oil change.
Right.
And it'll be a step-by-step. Right. I think, so with that said, that you can do with fairly minimal tools and whatever, but there's definitely some stuff you should have. I would definitely recommend a decent car jack.
Yep.
There's going to be a little bit of an investment, but it's going to save you in the long run. A decent car jack. Yep. You don't want to use the one that comes with the car, the little one that you screw in and opens up.
Correct.
Those are pretty unsafe.
Great for emergencies, but it's not reliable. If you're putting yourself underneath the car,
please don't do that.
Yeah.
So get a decent jack and get some decent jack stands too.
And usually they sell them in a kit. So you can go to your local AutoZone, Advance Auto, whatever.
Yep.
And it's usually about $70,
$80. Like
and it comes with two safe jack stands, a nice safe jack for the car. And that'll allow you to jack it up by whatever you look up the factory jack points. That's the language you'll use to jack it up to get your car off of the ground, and then where you can put the jack stands and support it. A lot of people, if they're pulling wheels off, put the wheel underneath the car as an added safety measure.
Yep.
But it's really all about safety first on a lot of that stuff.
For sure.
Good thought.
You do not want to be putting yourself under a 3,000-pound car with no extra safety on there.
No.
It even changing the oil, because you got to get right under the heavy part of the car.
Right.
Under the oil pan, under the engine.
Right.
So I would say even maybe before the oil, one thing you could do just to learn a little bit is most cars come with a spare tire in the trunk.
Yep.
Just change your tire once.
Yeah.
It's good. It takes an elbow grease to take some strength, especially if your wheels haven't been taken off for a while. Those things are probably cranked on there.
Yes.
So you got to really work. Most of the time the car comes with the emergency jack. So make sure you're on a totally flat surface. I would chalk the wheels so the car doesn't roll, put the e-brake on, all that stuff. And then it comes with usually the jack, the tire iron for it. Like it comes with usually everything.
That's a good point.
To do that. So just try and change your wheel. That's a good first step. Now, when you put that wheel back on, crank that sucker down.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to, don't try and break the bolts, but that's got to be tight. You don't want to lose a wheel.
Right.
So that's another thing you can look up. Like, how do I change a tire? And most of the time,
that's
in the
really
back of the
thought.
Car, you pull out, there's sometimes it's like a little fake leather thing that's like rolled up. Yep. I know in some older cars, they have that. You open that up. It's got all of the pieces. They've got like a little metal thing that you pull the hubcaps off with, or the bolt covers off with, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got all that in there. Sometimes it has a little instructions in there too. It's like 1 through 6, how to change your wheel.
That's a great, like, no investment at all. Just go out and do it. Like
$0.
Yeah. And that's a good, it's an emergency thing too. Like to be prepared to know if you do get a flat, you don't have to wait for AAA. You don't have to wait for another service.
Yep.
You're confident enough to be able to swap your wheel out and get yourself out of that situation. Yep. So that's a great, so then we were talking about tools before. So like good stuff to have on hand. Like you need a quality jack stand for sure. You can get out of hand with these. Jack stands can cost upward, $300 to $500 for the high performance ones.
Yeah.
You don't need that when you're starting out.
Right.
I still have my $70 one that came with jack stands that I
build
use half
all of our cars with living at home. Dad had this
jack, the ancient one
with the car jack that was like, 1,000 years old, it seemed like, and still has it.
Yeah.
Still's working great.
Still is great. Yep.
So you don't need anything super special.
Totally. So that's a big thing. Another thing that's a good to have, especially once you start doing oil changes, a cheap socket set and a wrench set.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, for all sockets and wrenches, if you're super unfamiliar with any of this stuff, there's English measurements and metric measurements. And for whatever dumb reason, cars seem to use both. Like randomly.
Yeah.
So no, but there's no magic secret sauce to like knowing which one's which. It's literally a, like, here's the bolt that we're going to be undoing today. It's going to be this guy here. And what do you think? Let's look at this guy here. What do we think this is going to be? I don't know. It's maybe 12 millimeter, maybe 10, maybe 13.
Looks like a 13.
You're going to go grab a handful. So having a decent socket set that just has a basic range. You don't need anything crazy. Maybe $50 at Menards, something like that. Just a basic.
Or even go to, I mean, there's some jokes about Harbor Freight stuff, but like their stuff is dirt cheap.
Right.
And they have an amazing return policy. If you break a tool,
right.
Most of the time you can just bring it back and get it replaced. So if you're looking for budget stuff, they have some really good, and they have little kits.
Yes.
Like they have even more specific kits if you want to get a little bit more into it. Like I have some aftermarket wheels for my Audi, and they had a polymer cased socket kit specifically for aftermarket wheels, so you don't nick up the wheels.
That's cool.
So they have some really cool stuff like that too.
That's,
I know, a huge
point.
Thing they had fairly recently, they had 24 karat gold plated wrenches. Do you remember that? Ratchets.
Yes,
so you don't need to think crazy like that.
But getting a basic socket set, wrench set, and jack stands. That's that's everything you need to get started.
That's your oil change. That's your changing your wheels out.
Yeah. You can do most brake stuff with them. I mean, you can do kind of every initial thing you need with your car.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about maybe just under $150.
Yep.
Like somewhere around $100 at the end of the day. Even looking at Marketplace, finding used tools at a garage sale, something like that. Like you can never have too many. But
I'd say
just
tools getting used, awesome. Yeah. You can find them cheap. I would maybe not get jack stands.
No, I totally agree. Totally
or car jacks used just in case. Those are like we
it's
said, those are
things
that are protecting your life when you're going under your car.
Right.
If you don't have to go under your car that much, like for the oil change, a lot of times, some cars, if they're not lowered, if they're not super low cars,
if you get like a Jeep or an SUV, you can just
don't
right
even
underneath.
Need to jack the car up. You can just slide right under there. You don't really have to worry about it coming down on you.
Right.
So
that's a great, so there's your first project, right? Swap out your wheels and then oil change, keeping up on that. And then that gets you in a good practice too of looking at and keeping an eye on where your odometer is at, how many miles are on your car, and when the next thing's going to be due. Because everything in a car works on intervals. It's all about, you think about it, the car is going down the road, it's clocking miles. So we just measure everything in miles as far as, okay, I did this here in 10,000 miles, I got to do my oil again. So you're keeping an eye on it, set a reminder, whatever. And that's something you're just constantly thinking about, you're paying attention to. The more you do that, the more you get in your car, apart from just enjoying the time doing it, you get a better sense of what's going on. You can catch issues earlier.
Totally.
So instead of being surprised when you bring it into the mechanic and have whatever, I mean, even like it's not uncommon to go into a shop and they'll diagnose, you know, brakes, and they have to pay for labor. They have to pay for all the pieces for them. So it's going to be over $1,000 to do it. Where if you do it, you can save a lot of money and learn a lot in the process to do it. It's going to be a couple $100 to swap everything out. If you're doing like,
I was thinking that for brakes too, like brakes are a good next step after you've changed your wheels, you've done your oil,
right?
Changing out brake pads. Now you're going to want to definitely do some research, definitely watch some videos. You got to have your brakes done correctly.
Right. Another safety thing, like
100%.
Definitely want
you
that to
be able to stop.
Yep.
So,
but that being said, it's a pretty easy process, especially if you're just doing pads. Cause there's, you know, when you think about brakes, you got the rotor, you got the pads wear out a lot faster than a rotor.
Yep.
So swapping that out, it's a relatively simple thing. It's a handful of bolts per corner of the car.
Yep.
A thing that's very helpful though is like I've helped a lot of people, I'm sure you have too, on little car projects that maybe, you know, so now you're at the point, you've done your wheel, you've done your oil change, you have a couple tools, you want to tackle something bigger, but you're kind of a little bit on edge, not quite comfortable with it yet. Yeah. There's two things you could do. One is reach out to connections that you have. So you don't have to ask somebody to do it for you, but hey, would you mind hanging out with me and helping, just keep an eye on me while I do it, make sure I get everything done right.
Yep.
I don't know anybody that wouldn't be willing to do something like that. Stop by for a Saturday. Maybe you got to have like pizza or something ordered and that's going to be your payment for it, but something to have somebody keep an eye on it. Or if you don't have anybody in your life that'll do that, there's car communities, there's car groups all over on Facebook, social media, everything that you can ask questions and get some simple advice, things like that on.
Totally.
But yeah, the next, you know, then it's just a matter of that. You're just doing the next one and you're getting curious as things break on your car, as things happen, you're feeling a little bit more confident each time you go through. But something that can guide this is, like Zach was saying, you want to be, it's like we're talking about brakes. That's high stakes. Brakes are the thing that stopped your car. That is one of the most important features of your car.
Yeah.
So something that can be super helpful, like there's YouTube, there's Google to try to find tutorials. But there's manuals specific for your car that are a lifesaver in a lot of these instances.
For sure.
So one that we've always used, I mean, there's specific ones for Euro cars, but a good general use manual for everything is a Haynes manual, H-A-Y-N-E-S. not a sponsor, just something that we've used and saved a lot of time
working. You can take apart your car and put it back together with these manuals. And it's literally, every little thing.
Yeah, it's broken down by system in your car. So, okay, we're going to work on brakes. You go to the table contents at the front. Okay, cool. Brakes. Go to section 3. You flip open and it's everything. It's how to remove the caliper, how to remove the rotor. And it's broken down by step pictures. And then at the beginning of every section, it shows how tight everything needs to be. So it's got specs for all this stuff. How
it
much,
usually
how
tells
much
you how
fluid.
Many wrench, what wrenches you need, what sizes you need.
Everything. It's super helpful. So definitely those manuals, what, $15 maybe?
Yeah, they're
so
cheap.
So if you search
Find
for your
online.
Car, they've got it for the model year range for your car. But that's something you can definitely should pick up. In my use case, like they also have wiring diagrams for everything in your car in the back too. So once you get into the electrical side of things, they've got like full explanations of how everything's wired so you can troubleshoot things. But yeah, those are like a super valuable resource to have. Don't have to bring it with you everywhere you go, but keep it in your garage. I just referenced it last week when I was working on the steering rack for my Porsche, and it was something that I was pretty sure I knew how something worked, but I just wanted to flip through and get eyes on it. But super helpful to have.
For sure. And I would say as far as parts go, obviously online is great. But if you can go into a local parts store, they're not always going to be, they get kind of roasted for this. Like you go in looking for like, I don't know, oil, and they're like, oh, is it a front wheel drive or all wheel drive? Like stuff that doesn't matter. Right. But that being said, sometimes they're pretty thorough.
Yeah.
If you go in and say, hey, I don't really know what I need.
Right.
I need brake pads.
Right.
I know the year model, like the specs of my car, basically.
Right. Or if you don't, you can say it's that out there. Can you guys help me? They'll help you out. They'll help you figure out what exactly you're working with.
Yep.
But
sometimes too, like it's hit or miss. Obviously those people who work there are just people too.
Right.
Some of them are you guys, right? There's probably people watching this that like work at AutoZone or whatever, one of those places.
Yeah.
And I have seen, I can't tell you how many times driving by AutoZone or going there or whatever, Advance. I don't want to say just AutoZone, but all these little car shops. I've seen an employee out there with their red polo digging into somebody's engine. They're like hanging over it. Right.
Yes.
And like getting in there and like helping them diagnose stuff. So, it's hit or miss, but you can definitely find somebody there who is willing to help with some of that stuff too.
That's a great point, because it's easy to think, like, especially if you're inexperienced and you don't know what you're talking about, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to go into a store and ask for something that you already don't really know. So then if they ask a question like that, I don't know what's talking about. But like most people in the car community want more people in the car community. So if you're going in and you're wanting to change your oil, do your brakes, whatever, it's a great, ask questions. They've done it. They've probably all done it in some instance or another. So to be able to say, hey, I'm looking for, I'm going to do new brakes on my car. You don't even have to say the specific parts. I'm doing new brakes on my car. And they'll say, all right, what are we working with? And they'll list it all out, ask the questions and say, do I need anything else? Is there a specialty tool I might need? Because there might be something that you need to compress calipers, things like that.
And
you can ask for tips. You can ask all that. Yeah, go ahead.
So I was going to say, as far as specialty tools go, a lot of those tool shops, these tools can get very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So if you need to buy all these specific tools, it can get very expensive. Most of these local car shops, they will let you essentially rent that tool.
Yeah.
So I think you have to pay the full price for it.
Right.
You can go home and use it and bring it back and you get 100% refund.
Yeah.
So you're not buying it, returning it. They literally have them there for rental. So you could go there. If you don't know what you need, you could go there first of all, ask what tools you need, but then say, hey, what rental tools do you guys have?
Yes,
because there might be something you're not thinking about, like, oh, we have this brake caliper. Sometimes you need brake calipers, basically, or the calipers basically squeeze the rotor.
Yep.
So if your pads are real worn down, they're sometimes stuck in this position, you got to open them back up to fit those new pads in.
Right.
So they have tools for that. They have, I can't tell you how many times I've went and borrowed a tool.
Oh, so because some of them, and there's like some after you rent it a couple times, maybe it justifies a purchase, but for some you're doing brake lines and you're going to use a flaring tool once on this car ever.
Right.
So like you go in, sometimes it's the full amount, sometimes it's a smaller deposit, but it literally is set up like that. And that's a thing, if that comforts you at all, it's not that you're purchasing or returning it. You are literally putting a deposit down on it. They put your name down. You can rent it for, I think they say 48 hours or something.
Yep.
If you call them and say, hey, I need this a little while longer,
they're
good with it. They'll return it when you bring it back in. But it gives you an opportunity to use a lot of tools. Like I did recharge my AC system. I wasn't going to buy all that stuff for it. Mm-hmm. So I just went and rented it and brought it back, got all my money back for it.
Yeah.
It's free and they want you to use that. They want you to go in and use that stuff.
Yep.
So, I mean, pretty much any big name parts supplier that's local to you is going to do something like that.
Yep.
So you can get tools there. Another thing that they'll do is diagnostic stuff. So if you go in and have an engine light on, you obviously don't want to spend a couple hundred on a code reader. You can just go in and say, hey, I have an engine light on. Can you guys help me out? They'll come out and read the code, but then they'll print off a thing that recommends what it could be in the process. So you can either go off that and purchase whatever the pieces is going to fix it. Or, and a lot of times what I'll do is you either Google that or go to a forum for your vehicle and say, hey, I got this code, PO194, whatever.
Yep.
This is what my code is. And then people can share
pretty
their
sure
experience.
Pretty sure that was O2 sensor.
Yeah, that's
code.
What I was just dealing with. Fuel yep. system too rich. But yep. like a lot of these, they're generic codes. There's generic language. It doesn't just say like replace this bolt here and you'll be good. But that's a great, like, they know what they're talking. For the most part, you'll get your flukes in every career and every job field, whatever.
Yep.
But for the most part, going into a parts store, if you go in and you're genuine, you have questions, you want to get started, they'll help you out.
That diagnostic, that's a huge, huge tip for new people, because yep. if you just have your shop that you go to, like I'm guilty of this sometimes too with some of, with my newer cars.
Yeah.
Like yesterday I was at the Volkswagen dealership
yeah.
to do service. They were doing oil change and spark plugs,
yeah.
like stuff I can do.
Yeah.
Still under warranty. So it's like, yeah, they're taking care of it.
Yeah.
But normally if your car's not under warranty, you got to take it to a shop. You're going to get charged like $200-$300 for diagnostics.
Right.
Just for them to figure out what's wrong with it. And sometimes right. all that is, and this is not to knock shops. That's
no,
what their job's for. They're
right.
taking care of all of it for you.
Right.
But their job is to, they basically read the codes
yeah.
and then figure out what could be wrong with it. And then
right.
they say, hey, could be your spark plugs, could be your catalytic converters, your O2 sensors.
Right.
What do you want to do from here?
Yeah.
And you could say, well, I'm going to take it home and figure it out. You just spent $200-$300.
Right.
You could go to a big parts store.
Right.
That stuff's all free at the parts stores from,
right.
from my understanding. You
right.
go there and say, hey, I have an engine light. Can you come read it?
Yeah.
They'll read the code. They'll print it out.
Yeah.
And then they'll say almost the same thing. Oh, it might be your spark plugs. It might be this, it might be that.
Right.
Sometimes it's one thing and it's like, say it's like a cylinder 3 misfire.
Right.
Like could be your spark plug.
Right.
More than likely it's a spark plug if everything
right.
else is running okay in the car.
Right.
And then you could say, all right, give me spark plugs. And then you go home, you YouTube how to do spark plugs. You
yep.
go back to AutoZone because you forgot a part.
Yep. That always, and that happens for the rest of your working on car career. Like you
forever.
Will always have to do like 2 or 3 trips per job because
yeah.
you'll just, for, you just forget.
It just happens.
It just happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a huge, that's a good, like, and like going into those parts stores and getting that initial diagnostic, like the, another piece that happens with all this, sometimes you will get a code that's something big and something that maybe is more than you can handle right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a defeat. Like sometimes I've gone in, I've done like a stupid amount of work on my cars, but there are things that I will not touch. And there are things that
yep.
I realize, like I either don't have the tools for, I don't have the time, I'm not going to get into. So if it's, you know, like for instance, AC systems, those are very complicated. So
yep.
I had to evacuate the system of Freon and everything. And that's something I'm not going to do.
That's illegal to vent.
And
yeah.
it's, you know, and it's something I could get seriously injured doing it. It's
that's
a very
a good
dangerous
point too,
system.
Is like a lot of the fluids in a car are hazardous.
Right.
Like you don't want them touching your skin.
Right.
Oil's generally okay, but I
right.
would recommend wearing gloves.
Right.
But like you don't want them touching your skin.
Right.
You don't want to ingest them by any means. Don't get
yeah.
them anywhere near your eyes.
Right.
And if you have any pets or like animals or kids
yes.
or anything, you don't want them anywhere near, we'll just say any fluid coming out of
right.
a car.
Right.
Because a lot of that can be hazardous. I mean, there's jokes about like, oh, that's got my neighbor put antifreeze on bologna and killed all the neighborhood cats or whatever. You know, I'm pretty sure dad told us something like
yes.
that.
Yeah.
Like that stuff is poisonous and it says
yeah.
it right on the bottle, but I think it's worth mentioning, especially
yes.
if you're newer to that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, just being super careful with it. Like if you do get it in your eyes, if you have like open cuts on your hands, things like that, like you just said, like having a set of like rubber gloves that are out dedicated for garage use,
mm-hmm.
it's great. Like having like cardboard that you lay out, like lay down cardboard on the floor before you lay underneath your car. Like then you're not getting super dirty, but then if there is
unless,
like a spill or something. Then...
Unless you're wearing one of our This Is My Garage shirts.
Yes, there we
if
go.
If you're wearing that, don't put anything down.
Get
the shirt all dirty.
Yep.
That's your badge of honor
yep.
for working on your car. If you're a new person working to cars
yes.
and you come to a show or you
yes.
guys send us a picture and you have like the tiniest oil stain ever, but it was your first time doing an oil change, we're going to be so happy.
Yeah, we're going to be so
Man,
proud.
That'll make us so happy.
Yeah, and that
that's
is
awesome.
a good thing to bring up now is that we do have, so on our store, this is not like a whatever, like an ad or whatever, but it's something we're trying to build for the community. We got the shirts too. They're still waiting for them in the mail here. But we've got it just says This Is My Garage shirt, and it's designed for everybody. For whether you're rebuilding the motor for your dedicated race car, or this, like Zach said, this is your first oil change. The shirt's designed for, like, I would not wear shirts I wear every day to go work on cars. I have dedicated like 3 or 4 shirts that
yep.
I wear in the garage and jeans that I wear in the garage.
100%.
Maybe that's a good note. Stuff's going to get dirty and it's going to get stained beyond repair. So just be ready yeah. for that.
That's why we made this shirt.
Right.
Because we now have designated This Is My Garage
shirt. Right. So it's dedicated for that. It's white and it's meant to get dirty. So we've
yeah.
got a hoodie and a t-shirt. But it's just designed for that. While you're working on your car, it's going to have stains. And ideally that's at car shows and whatever. Like that's going to be a way that we can talk about like, oh yeah, I was working on that. And like, oh, this happened and this and whatever. And then our new rule that we came up with too is these shirts have a lifetime warranty. If you jack up the shirt, if you rip it, if something happens to it in the process of working on your car, as long as you send us a video of like what the heck happened with it, we'll send you a new shirt.
I hope we lose a ton of money on those shirts because people are working so hard
yeah.
on their cars and ruining these shirts and sending them into us.
And if it's
we
like,
have so many stories in with that.
But yeah,
I would
so,
love to have that in our garage at some point.
It'd be so
just
cool.
Just like the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And then we have a little the placard on it. It's like, this is Kyle. He replaced his transmission.
Yes,
and
yes.
He got his shirt stuck torquing the transmission down and it ripped in half or whatever.
So you can find all that stuff, thirdpedalpodcast.com. We got a bunch of other stuff on there, but specifically for this purpose, that's your start to working on cars. You need your jack, you need a quality jack, you need at least a socket and a wrench set, and you need a This Is My Garage shirt, then you're good to go. Yeah. But
and I think if you went into, say, a hardware store, like, I don't know, there's a bunch of them, even like a Harbor Freight, and just talk to people like, hey, I'm new, like, what are some like beginner stuff that I need, and I'll show you that. Or hey, Jake and Zach said I need a car jack and jack stands, like, can you show me some decent ones on a budget? I need like a basic wrench kit. They'll probably ask you, oh, do you have a German car or American car or whatever, this is what you need. The nice thing with, I'll say this too, with the tools.
Yeah.
So I know we have like, they have the whatever, there's a half and then they're like a 13
sure.
millimeter. They come in millimeter and inches, I guess, right?
Yep. Yeah. Standard and metric measurements.
Yeah. So they are interchangeable a lot of times.
Yep.
So like you'll learn, I know at least some of them off the top of my head, like half and a 13 millimeter are interchangeable most times, unless the bolt is like super, super specific.
Right.
So a lot of them, like, it's trial and error. You figure out, you go, okay, I have a, if you're like me sometimes, I have a toolbox that are just full of the sockets and it's like, we're figuring it out. It looks like kind of this size. You might get like a 7/16 and then like a 10 millimeter and like, you figure it out.
That's part of the joy though, is it's that is you, so you get under the car, you're doing whatever, you're doing brakes. We'll keep sticking with that example. So you got your wheel off, you got it sitting, you got your car jacked, everything's good. So now you go and you look at the back and the main bolt, you have to release the caliper. So it's got a bolt. You kind of look at the back and you're like, I think we're going, I don't know, throw a number out there, 9/16 or like doing how my wife measures stuff like this. All right, this is how big I need. And then go back to your, go back to your toolbox.
That's
she's
a good
always
start.
So accurate. With
really? How do you keep your fingers still?
I don't know, dude. But
I got too much
experience. So she'll do that. She'll start. So then, like, because we've worked on it so much, we can look at these and kind of, I probably have three sockets that I'd start with. Maybe one of them is going to fit. But it's all that. It's just starting bonus. Just bring your sockets over.
We have to look at this and you get two bolts. I get two bolts. And you have to guess the size. I have to guess the size. And like,
that'd be
whoever right wins.
That'd be awesome.
I got tools in the garage. We could try it.
Yeah, let's do,
we'll do it after.
Let's do it right after. But it's all, I mean, it's that. It's trial and error. It's not like if it's supposed to be like 13 millimeter and a half, like Zach was saying, they're very marginally different, but they're pretty much interchangeable. It's not like if you use a 13 on something that needed a half, anything's going to go wrong. The biggest thing is just being careful with, and you'll find this every video you look, is like, you know, if you're way too big on something and you try to force it off, you could damage a bolt. So it's just all about, that's like my whole, the beginning preface of all of this. Nothing about it is that hard. It's just specifics. You just have to be patient. So it's just a matter of, you try a wrench on here. Oh, it fits. It's a little bit loose. I wonder if I could get a little bit tighter on it. Try the next one. There you go. That's the right fit. You'll know. You'll know. But
you'll know movement essentially.
Yeah.
In those, when the socket goes over the bolt or nut, like you don't want.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want that.
Right. Not at all.
You want it to be a tight fit.
Not at all. So
but
I guess
if that's all you got and it's not that tight of a bolt, hey.
Right.
Send it.
It'll work. Yes. Put a vice grip on it. Slam with a hammer. It's all good. It's like that. We'll put the thing in it of like the various levels of how tight things are.
Yes.
So it's like,
yes.
Please come loose. I was trying, blah, blah. I'm done asking. Can't be stuck if it's a liquid.
Can't be stuck if it's liquid. Yeah. Put that one in.
But yeah. So I mean, other than that, I guess how I'll end it. And then if you got anything too, it's like, you know, there's perceptions, I think, from outside the car community about, you know, whatever brand stuff, and you got muscle cars, and you got this, and you got this, and this, whatever. That quickly fades away when talking to anybody about cars, because it ultimately is about all cars are kind of the same. There's engines, there's wheels, there's tires, there's brakes. Like, it's all kind of the same thing. So don't be too intimidated if you're pulling up to the parts store. There's drive a Honda, and there's a bunch of guys in Corvettes and stuff. There might be a little bit of ribbing on, like, oh, a nice 4-cylinder, or whatever, something like that.
Yep.
As soon as you say, hey, I'm new, I want to start working on cars, I don't know where to start. Instantly, everybody's going to change their tone. Like, instantly, there might be a few people that paint it bad, but I think for the most part, anybody, no matter what you drive, I've had really cool conversations with guys. I'm driving in my old 80s car. Somebody pulls up in a Camaro and wants to talk. Like, everybody at the end of the day, we're all doing it kind of for the same reason. We all have a passion for wrenching on something.
Yeah.
And we're super pumped that you want to join that group. So, I mean, in the same tone, if you guys have questions, message us any of our social accounts, visit our website, thirdpedalpodcast.com. Shoot us at the top right of the site. There's a like contact us button. It'll shoot us a direct email. There's no like huge production crew behind this podcast. It's us. So like we'll get it and we'll most likely like freak out that we get an email in there and text each other right away. But like we'll give you our 2 cents. We don't know everything. Like the disclaimer that we're not professionals in this. We just learn it as we go. But any questions you have, like it's just that. It's chipping away. It's starting with one task and then the next and then the next. And it's building confidence as you go in your car and in yourself. And it's a good escape.
Luckily,
it's a good
most
hobby.
Of us learn by trial and error. There are very few. There's definitely people in the car community who are professionally trained.
Right.
We talked to a guy last week's episode, our crew episode. So if you guys haven't watched that, go back and watch that. We share some of your guys' builds. So we love sharing that stuff too.
Yeah.
He's going to get professionally trained for performance too. Yeah. It's just awesome. So there's definitely, I mean, if you want to get into it, if you're like, hey, I just love everything cars, right. I don't know how to work on them.
Right.
There's absolutely some education right. stuff for that right. too, if you want to go that far right. into it.
And if you're not, if you're somebody who's already in a career and you just want to, whatever, to build a little bit more confidence, you drive, doesn't even have to be anything. Maybe you drive a Buick or something like that. You're sure. just like, I don't know. I don't really want to pay for oil changes anymore. I feel like I could do that. Totally can. Just yeah. start there. Yep. Any start's going to be good, but yeah, so that's welcome to the car community. If you're new to this, hopefully yes, that gives you a little bit of starting knowledge. We realize a lot of times, not only do we share a lot of inside jokes, but we'll kind of run over things, but we'll try to get more into the weeds about details and stuff. But yeah, sure. welcome and everything. There's no dumb questions, or if there is, we'll tease a little bit, but then we'll answer it. but yeah, it's so anyway, fun. At that point, I wish we had like specific mechanic focused make it or break it. But we haven't done a make it or break it in a while. So
oh, let's
I got
do
some
it.
Videos
yeah,
I want to show you.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this week there's no specific theme other than you got to figure out what's going to go on. So for those who are new, if you are new to the car community, we do a segment on this podcast called Make It or Break It, which is where we'll start a video that's either going to be a fail or something like super cool that happens. So we're going to play a little bit, pause it, and then we got to kind of figure out where it's going to go, right?
All right. Where are we starting here?
Where do we want to start? Okay. I've been waiting to show you this one for a really long time. Okay. So let me get it queued up here.
Yep.
This one's awesome. Okay, here we go. You ready for this?
I'm ready, I think.
Okay. I'm going to do this and not block it. All right, here we go. Well, no volume happened that day.
Yeah, let's turn it up.
Crank that up. All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
I got to figure out a less clunky.
Okay. I have been on these go-kart tracks and they're breaking it for sure.
They're breaking
it. I think so, yeah. I think someone's getting flipped.
Do you have any interest?
Yeah, I think someone's
flipped?
Getting flipped.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Because that was my main fear going on these go-kart tracks, right? All the time you're like bumping into people. Yeah. We all treat it like
you're
bumper
like looking
cars.
And you're like, I think the CG's pretty low. I don't think I'm gonna roll it or whatever.
Yeah, and then
all right,
it gets there.
Here we go.
All right. He went flying. Wait a minute. We got to go through that one more time. That guy, it was like, oh no, oh no.
It's the slowest flip I've ever seen in my life. It reminds me of we got to tell our go-kart story yeah. sometime with that like, it's flipping over.
Oh man. I hope the camera slowly moves. Oh. Are they okay?
I don't know, dude. But like they
ragdolled it too.
They get air. Look at, so he hits. He goes to the outside. He gets sandwiched.
Yep.
And then he just goes T-bone right
just
in.
Just gets smashed. Oh, man. Full flip. Well,
is that
luckily,
his leg? That's
yeah,
his leg.
That's a leg. It luckily landed on the base, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Like
right?
On the bottom.
That's all I was thinking when I watched it the first time. Was like,
you could smash him. I mean, they have little roll bar things over top of it and whatever, but.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway,
wow.
That's my guy there.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Let's see. Do you want me to keep cruising with
yeah,
a couple
keep
of
going.
These? Okay. So this guy I thought was really. Yeah, let's go this guy. I don't understand the audio, but
yeah, why is it all echoey?
Oh, if I could pause it, that'd be great.
Oh,
all right.
See,
so this guy, he's in the sun, he's got a black car, he cleaned off a spot on his head.
A very small spot.
Very small spot. He's pretty confident in his egg making skills.
Yeah.
What do you think is gonna happen?
The black cars get super hot, so he's gonna fry the egg. Is
yep.
that what's gonna happen?
Yep.
Okay.
That is the plan here. So what do you how do you think this is gonna go?
Oh, I just thought he was going to fry that.
Oh, okay.
Does yeah. it ruin his paint?
I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
Okay, let's see.
There we go.
Oh, it's so echoey. It's like a horror
movie.
I did
one of the filters. All right, here we go.
This is like a memory. That's what it sounds like.
I always wanted to try this.
What? Oh, no! into the engine bay. Like, it's like, not today!
That's never coming out.
Oh, man.
We should,
that is so funny.
Like
he tries to get... Oh, no! That's so funny.
Oh,
it slips
gosh.
Into the
it's
engine
so,
bay.
It just bloop, and then it disappears. In
yeah.
There.
So if you're trying to fry eggs on your car's hood, make sure you're a perfectly level surface.
Right. Yep. Okay. I got one more.
Boy's slippery.
Here. All right. Here we go. This one's fantastic. This is not a pause one. This is just show it.
Okay.
All right.
Let's watch
it. The way.
We got F-150 first dates. We got
Iron
edits. Legend. We got Silence of the Rams. We got 12 Years of Saab. We got Prius and Prejudice. We got Chrysler 300. We got Forrester Gump. We got James Bondo.
James Bondo.
Space of 2001 Odyssey. We got Durango Unchained.
Unchained. That's amazing.
We got The Matrix. We got The Matrix Reloaded. And we got Cars.
Cars is unedited. I like that. It's just Cars. That's amazing.
They're so
People are so creative.
There's so many of them.
That reminds me of like a high school Photoshop project. Yes. Like, I wonder if that's where that started.
It must be. Yeah. It had to have been. Okay. This
Durango
one,
Unchained.
This one here.
The cowboy hat.
This is awesome. Amazing. Wow. Since this is our Cars 101 episode, let's do a basic how to/how not to do oil change on your car. This is how we'll close it out.
Hey guys, Jamie from Elite Motorworks. I've got a BMW engine that I'm building for a customer. It's a race engine. He's asked me to customize the oil drain because he's looking for a fast relief valve. So we're going to do that right now. Let me show you how that works. First thing we have to do is remove the drain plug. Good. First thing we have to do is
don't
open
do that.
Up the hole.
Never do this.
Oh no.
Now that our hole is drilled, we gotta put in some threads.
He's just cranking it in there too.
Now we have to tape our threads.
Put our valve in. Oh no. Oh, this is all wrong.
Just like that. A quick relief valve. Let's see how it works.
I mean.
What?
Yeah, 5:30.
Don't ingest your oil.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's,
oh my gosh.
That's going to get us flagged. But
eating the oil, you think?
I think so.
It's still up. His video's still up.
So funny though.
Oh man.
So anyway, for those, if that is your first time doing a car oil change, so don't drill out the hole. Don't put it in a water spigot. Don't taste the oil. There's a lot of don'ts there.
You don't want metal shavings, period, in your oil.
No.
So that's another thing. If you're changing your oil and it looks like chalky milk, it has metal shavings in it. It has it has water in it.
Oh, yeah.
There's anything in it besides oil, whether that's like a golden kind of see-through color oil, that means it's a little fresher.
Yep.
Or if it's like pitch black oil, that means it's probably overdue.
Right.
Or you've got some extra carbon buildup or something in your engine.
Right.
If it's like a fresh change,
right.
But that's the only thing you want to see is like a nice golden kind of maple syrupy,
yep.
Or like a really dark liquid.
Totally.
You don't want metal shavings. You don't want any colored liquids. Like if you see these light colors in your oil, some bad. You're gonna need a professional at that point.
But anyway, thank you so much for joining us. For anyone new to the car community, welcome. Know that we're pumped to have you here. We're pumped to add you to our numbers. Follow the podcast.
Yeah.
And we'll keep sharing. We every once in a while, Friday nights and stuff, we'll be working on our cars. Zach's got breaks coming up that he's going to be live streaming working on.
Yep.
I'm putting my Porsche back together. But yeah, essentially, like, no projects too big or small. Everything's just specific. Make sure you go into it with some knowledge up front. Get a manual. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to ask people.
Yeah, we're learning some of this stuff, too. So, for example, I've never done like a brake upgrade kit. So I've changed out rotors. I've changed out pads a couple of times, handful here and there. Yeah. I've never really kept cars long enough to need it. So my Audi, I'm coming up on 2 years, which is like pretty long ownership for most of my cars.
Right.
So I'm learning some of that stuff too. Yeah. I've never done, and this is a two-piece rotor upgrade.
Yep.
And I'm doing the lines. So
that's right.
I was hoping to not have to bleed the kit or do new fluid. So it's something I'm going to be learning too.
Yeah.
So I'm doing some research beforehand already before they get here.
Yep.
I'm getting all the parts, all the tools, everything ready. And then I'm going to live stream that. I'm sure I'll make a mistake here or there. But
makes a good project.
Yeah, I'll be learning it on the way too. So I'm going to live stream and I'll try to take some video outside of that for kind of a how-to vlog sort of setup sort of thing for the YouTube.
Sweet.
So yeah. That's it.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you guys next
week. Thanks for watching. See you next week. It's your turn.
Peace.